The Parish of the Patriots, take 272. We'll get it right this time. 272nd time. We're back. Most of you return members of the congregation. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all making your way back. If you are new, I appreciate you stopping by. We do have a Christian-specific segment. The sermon, if you would, that'll be roughly, very roughly, the halfway point of the show. If you are new, I encourage you to stick around and listen to it. I can guarantee if you look around, the returning members of the congregation, 99.999% of them, they're return members of the congregation for the Christian-specific segment. I think if I cut this show down to 30 minutes, and I've toyed with that idea recently, if I cut this show down to 30 minutes and just did the Christian segment, I don't think we'd lose any members of the congregation. That may be a bold statement. I don't have any real plans to do that at the moment, but I have kicked the idea around my head because the Daily Nationalist, with Sven being gone, I've been doing the Daily Nationalist on Mondays and Fridays, and honestly, it sucks the gas out of the first half of the show. I mean, the first half of the show is basically the Daily Nationalist in a lot of ways. And it does. It sucks the air out of my first half of the show. I've already basically done the first half of the show twice this week already. Back again. And I got to fill this 30 minutes with something. I've been kicking around the idea. I ought to cut the Parish of the Patriots down to 30 minutes. Just do the Christian-specific segment. And leave it at that. But I don't. I'm not. We're going to keep on going like we have been. At least for the time being. I do appreciate you stopping by. I hope you get something out of the show. If you do get something out, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. If you do want to throw something in the plate, we do pass the offering plate around. I don't harp and carp about it. It is appreciated. If you want to be a part of that, look down here, right here on the description page for Radio Alba, and you see we've got the one and the only true privacy coin, which is snail mail. That's it. Don't be hitting me up asking me, what about this coin, that coin, crypto this, crypto that. I'm not doing it anymore. And honestly, I think I'm not going to do it. I don't think I'm going to bring it back. Anything could change. Things could change, but I don't plan to. I like the snail mail system because I'm old. I'm old. And being old, and I like analog. I do. I like analog. If I got to work on a car, I'm going to be a whole lot more comfortable working on a 78 Chevrolet than some brand new computerized, digitalized, touchscreen bullshit. Because I'm analog. Analog down. Grandpa Dan, just I started to do it. I didn't even say what I was doing. Anyway, put something in the plate. Do appreciate it. With that having been said, we're getting into the listener supporter mailbag. That's what I was doing here. Y'all would have known that anyway. But hey, there may be someone new listening and they don't know. They say, what's he doing? Grandpa Dan, just a heartfelt thank you. And that's from Diana. I do appreciate it, Diana. Part of the listener supporter mailbag is that way y'all know your crypto, your privacy coin went through the blockchain. The blockchain is the hands of the postal service. And sometimes the blockchain has a glitch in it. Sometimes the blockchain has a glitch. But all in all, the blockchain generally comes through. Sometimes the blockchain's a little slow, but usually it comes through. I say here, GPD, every show's great. I say that because as far as I know, you're the only one doing what you do. That's from Mr. T. And then I've got a second part here. And to answer your second part of question, which you asked that I not read on the air, I don't know. I really don't know that answer. I don't really keep up. I don't really keep up too much with a lot of other people. We're all doing our own thing. And I do appreciate it. I think we do something unique here. I'm not bragging. I mean, a lot of people are doing something that only they do. And good on them, I'm not arrogant. I have a humble attitude, I like to think. I joke around sometimes and act arrogant, but it is a joke. A lot of people doing unique things, and I think there's a certain amount of a feeling of accomplishment if you're doing something a little different than everybody else, and you're providing something that somebody else isn't. It's not to sit here and be like, I'm better than anybody else, but it is say, well, when you are doing something a little different, it kind of makes it a point. If you just copy pasting what other people are doing and just mimicking them, well, you're not accomplishing anything. People can listen to the original. And finally, and I feel always once in a while I need to, you know, I get doing this. We're on take 272 and I start rolling. I catch myself, you know, taking things for granted, like you way y'all know, you know, but I feel, you know, once in a while I shouldn't take that for granted and I should remind folks, you know, I do appreciate your notes. I really do. I really, the listener supporter mailbag, believe it or not, is one of my favorite parts. The Christian specific segment is my favorite part of the show. Hands down, that's why I do the show. The second favorite part is this, really reading, you know, getting the listener supported mailbag and hearing from y'all. And I do. I always read everything you send. I do. I will edit down if it's lengthy. I will edit out things that, you know, might specifically, you know, sometimes I'll hear from, I'm just pulling a name, an area out of my head here. That's not, you know, if I hear from, you know, George in small Podunk Town, Kentucky, I'm not going to say thank you, George, from small Podunk Town in Kentucky, because people in Podunk Town, Kentucky say, well, there's only so many Georges here. That, you know, I try to edit out things that, you know, specifically could zero down. You know, sometimes I'll have somebody write and they'll sign it both their name and their wife's name. Well, there's only so many couples by those names. Yes, it probably wouldn't narrow down to you, but I always always try to err on the side of caution. But when you don't hear me read those parts on the air, it's not that I skip over them or I don't care. I don't like those parts, but I sometimes I'm edited out for brevity, and sometimes it's just because I don't want anything that I think I look at this. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. That's more personal information for you. And I read it, but I don't necessarily need to share that. And here in this first part, I'm not reading through. Yes, we, you know, people have asked me about the weather here, you know, because we've had some big storms and many parts of the country's had. We've just had rain, and even not, you know, super crazy rain. I mean, you see footage, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, there's a flash flood through this creek and this, you know, or something like that. And that's just springtime here. You know, that ain't even out of the normal. That just, we had that. I've been spared any kind of tornadoes. I haven't even had any big hail this year, which is good. I don't need all that. Ain't nobody need all of that. Okay, now, let's see here. GPD, I'm sure you can relate, but I've been experiencing some news fatigue. I can relate. We'll get into this. Anyway, I've been experiencing some news fatigue. There's just so much flying around, it's becoming impossible to track every Jewish scam going on. You've got these college protests, now these laws they're passing, redefining anti-Semitism, which destroys all free speech. You got the Ukraine, of course, never Zelensky. He never stops begging for money. It just never stops. It's like every time he gets $1 billion, and like the next day, we need more. You talk about ungrateful, this guy. Anyway, I'm sorry, I was adding that. I was getting off into this too soon. Shutting down TikTok, Tucker, attacking Christianity. What won't they shut down? It's all so exhausting. Family helps. Faith helps. Little Lighthearted Friday podcast helps. That's right. We brought back Funny Fridays. Or maybe I should say I've introduced Funny. Anyway, Friday's my funny show, if you're wondering. I think it's funny. Anyway, but looking at the news for what it is and understanding that it is overwhelmingly by design helps to keep everything in check. One of the bigger scams, just occupying all of your thoughts and not letting you think for yourself. Thank you for your continued hard work. Hope to hear some good news about Sven's release soon. And this is from Drew. Thank you very much, Drew. And I do hope to have some news on Sven's. We're hopefully sooner rather than I don't talk about it too much because, I mean, we're basically hoping he gets what we here in the States would call parole. They have a different name for it there. And when that happens, if that happens, and God willing, you know, he's going to have conditions on his parole. Don't expect to see him, like, right back here doing Radio Albion because I'm sure they're not going to let that happen. You know, parole will eventually end and hopefully he can take a more active role. Right now, our number one goal is just see him get out. I will share any info I have, you know, as it becomes available. I will tell y'all, because I don't necessarily, maybe I've been falling behind on that. He's doing well. You know, he's got, you know, classes and stuff he can take. The British, for all my ragging on the UK, their prison system is, from what I've read from Sven, it's millions of times, better run than the prison system in America. You know, I mean, it is. It's much more professionally run. They have programs. They've got things, you know. And, yeah, no, I mean, he's doing well, all things considered. So we do hope to have good news, hopefully soon. News fatigue. Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. Because it's easy. It is. It's easy to do. I limit my, y'all might not believe, because I do the Daily Nationalist, you know, Monday show especially, will be some news story oriented show. Friday's a little more general. I talk about things that have been in the news more or less for the week, and I have some fun. We do Funny Fridays now, and that's made that a lot more fun. Y'all know, I've struggled doing the Daily Nationalist. That's a Sven show, and that's not really, you know, that's never really been, doing a news article show has never been my forte. So I've been kind of a fish out of water with that. I feel like I've finally hit my stride with that, especially now that we're doing a Funny Friday show where I just cut up, make jokes about stuff because it is stupid. You got to laugh at it. That is a way, as you say, there's a way of dealing with the fatigue. But it would surprise a lot of people that, you know, I don't really take in that much news. I really don't. My day starts off with about 30 minutes of the local news on mute, and that's just so I could see the weather forecast. And then I watch 90 seconds of the network news, the narrative, as I call it, your narrative for the day, just to see what the narrative is. And, you know, that way I know what the official lie of the day is. And I go from there. That way I'm informed. I have people I read, I have news sites I read, and I go through and see what all's going on. But I don't sit around and soak this stuff up. It'll make you nuts. It'll make you weird. It will. It'll make you weird if you do that. And it may as it may, because people will take in, you know, garbage and still be normies because they're just taking in garbage. You know, I believe in quality over quantity. You find some people that go over the news and write summaries of the news, and you check, and after a while you understand that person's pretty knowledgeable, and you can kind of just read them and they'll give you a wrap up and you can go with that. Quality versus quantity. Get some news sites that you trust. You just skim through and see what's going on in the world on different topics. You got normies, for instance, and they mean well. Bless their hearts. I don't running anybody down, anything. But like, for instance, you got normie conservatives that mean well. And they will tell you they're very well informed. In fact, they'd like you to know that they're more informed on the news and current goings on than anybody, because they take in news 24/7. And what are they taking in? They're taking in Fox News and AM talk radio, especially if they're older. They're taking in AM, when they're in their car, they're listening to AM talk radio. And when they're at home, they're watching Fox News. And they think, because they take in talk radio and Fox News, that they're very well informed. And they don't know anything, do they? They're wasting their time. They're just sitting there just, I don't know, slopping at the trough. You know, they don't know anything. They think they do, and they're quick to let you know how informed they are. It's very cringe. It's hard to be polite sometimes. Hey, let me tell you about this issue. And you're like, uh-oh. If you're like me. Because I'm a fairly polite person. And you talking to one of these people, you'd be nice. And they're like, hey, have you heard about such and such? Yeah, I've heard about that. Are you informed on it? Let me inform you on it. I was listening to so-and-so on talk radio the other day. Oh, here we go. Oh, you know, I don't believe in taking the Lord's name in vain. And, as a Christian believer, I try not to take the Lord's name in vain. So, like, in a situation like that, I might say to myself, Jesus, help me. And I'm not doing that in vain. I'm like literally reaching out saying, Lord, a little prayer in my heart. Give me strength, Lord. Give me strength. Let me tell you about what I heard on AM talk radio. They just spend all this time taking in garbage. And I think they know something. I've just been narrated to. They just have a different narrator. And they think they know something. I saw something cringe the other day. I see a lot of cringe here. As I've said before, the Trump thing has turned into a weird personality cult. It really has. You know, it's almost gotten creepy. And, you know, we were all on the Trump train the first time around. It was a lot of fun. It was fun. There were memes going out. If you notice how it's changed. You know, now, yeah, granted, you could say some of that is because, you know, this ridiculous, like this trial they're having, you know, it's just a kangaroo court trial and all of this and the ugliness that is going back and forth, you know, and granted, I'm sure that's part of it, but just the overall tone of it has really changed. When Trump ran the first time, it was like nobody really thought he'd win and it was fun. It was like a GameStop election, you know, like the GameStop stock deal, the GameStop stock thing. It was like that only an election. You know, people were putting up funny memes on the internet, and then now some of those people are in jail. That kind of killed the fun. You can be put in jail for putting funny jokes on the internet. Who knew? Nobody gave people advanced rules. I would say that's one of the problems here in America. You know, on the one hand, it'll sit there and laugh at you Europeans or Brits or whoever in your speech laws. But as vague as y'all speech laws are, ours are non-existent. They just come out of the blue and say, oh, by the way, those memes and jokes you put on the internet, those aren't allowed. You're going to jail. Wait a minute. Why? Anyway. But there was an air of fun. There was like, it was like a carnival when Trump ran the first time. And lots of people were joining in. Funny. People were laughing, making jokes. He'd say these crazy outlandish things. And everybody laughed about how funny it was. And then, of course, when he won, the Hillary people running around just like practically jumping off bridges, acting hysterical like he was going to send right-wing death squads after him or something. And it was funny. And it's changed. It's become like a weird personality cult. It has. It's like, you know, the Red Hat Brigade, you know. And again, I know these people mean well, but it's gotten weird. I saw a cringe thing, and I see many cringe things when it comes to Trump. I saw a cringe thing the other day. Somebody had like a banner, you know, flying, and it said, the only thing that can save America is God and Trump. It's hard to encounter that level of cringe. The only thing that can save America is God and Trump. And my first reaction is, well, what if God hates America? What then? America's kind of screwed, isn't it? Very cringe. No, I don't take in much news. And I always recommend y'all, same thing. Be informed. You don't want to be stupid. You don't want to be ill-informed. You don't want to be one of these people that thinks they're informed when they're not. You don't want to be one of these people that just has no clue of what's going on and they're just bumbling through life. And when happening happens, it takes them by complete surprise because they don't understand how the system works. They go and they vote and they think that this time they're going to vote. And this time, if we just get this guy, because I saw his ad on TV and his ad said he loves Jesus and puppies and little kids. And his opponent is a real piece of trash and isn't endorsed by Trump or anything. And if I vote, this guy's going to get in there and he's going to change something. And of course, nothing ever changes. Don't be stupid. You want to be informed. You want to understand how things work. You want to understand the system you live in. For one thing, because it'll keep you from getting in trouble. You know, if Trump held a big Stop the Steal rally, would you go show up? I guarantee you 90% of the Red Hat Brigades would, even knowing what happened with January 6th. I ain't showing up. Are you showing up something like that? Because we already know. We're informed. If you're not informed, you think free speech still counts in this country. It's still a thing. You think you run into these people and they'll still mouth at you about the Constitution. Like this old piece of paper is somehow holding them back. The only power it has is they don't want to let ever people, you know, the only power it has is how much they don't want to make it obvious that it isn't doing anything. You see what I'm saying? They got to keep people bought into the system. If they just walk up and feed it through a paper shredder in front of everybody, which we're close to that being the case now anyway, but if they officially do that, a lot of people are going to check out of the system. They got to keep you buying in. They got to keep you voting. They got to keep you saying, this time, we're going to get a different result. And actually, the government will start working for us. Never has before, but it will this time for sure. So, yeah, I mean, you get to have people that you want to be informed so that you're not stupid and you're not disappointed. Those people always get disappointed. They rally around, they work, they get this guy elected, and then he winds up being as big a shitbag as everybody else that's been up there this whole time. And they're disappointed. You ain't disappointed because you don't understand how the system works. Ain't none of it real. As you say, it's all theater. It's all made up. Don't take it seriously because it's not. I laugh at the campaign commercials. You know, at these campaign commercials. He's not supported by Trump. He opposed Governor Abbott's plan to secure the border with 10 foot of razor wire. Whatever the hell, you know. He practically hangs out with Beto. John Joe, he's a true American. He says God bless our troops. He believes in Jesus. And he's endorsed by President Trump. It's all the same. Jerk me off. And they get the same results. I've been seeing this. I've been around some years now. And I've seen this. Every election cycle, it's the same ad. They just change the faces out. It's the same ad. And nothing changes. I can tell you nothing's going to change. It ain't the most important election. When you know that, you don't get bought into it. You're going to be less disappointed. After you're informed, if you know what's going on, tune it out. Just straight up, just tune the news out. Don't take it in. Because I do believe, I do believe that the constant lies, because they lie about everything. I mean, some government spokesperson comes up here and they hold a conference and they sit there and just literally lie in your face. I saw a story the other day, and Macron in France was going on talking about, you know, they've got to stop Russia and Ukraine. He says, we can't have Russia on our western or on our eastern borders. We can't have Russia bordering Poland. My gosh, it would be a security threat for them to be that close to us. And it's such an inversion. Because that's been Russia's problem the whole time. But you see, it was okay when they were doing it. When they lie in your face, when they lie to your face and basically spit in your face with these lies over and over and over, and you know they're lies, it's a spirit. I think that's a form of spiritual warfare. You know it's a lie, and they lie to your face anyway until you should accept it. If you take that in and you just let them keep punching you in the face with those lies, I think that's a form of spiritual warfare. I think it breaks you down after a while because your mind is programmed to take in information. Your mind is preset, is pre-programmed for that when you communicate with somebody that you're trying to exchange information and get to the truth. And when that's the preset condition. And when you take this in and they just feed you lie, 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 and you know they're lying, it short circuits that, you know, and it causes, you know, like conflict inside. I believe that. It's a form of spiritual warfare. Don't take it in. It's easy. You don't have to get punched in the face with that. Just turn that shit off. You know, just laugh and say, well, I know that's a lie, and turn it off and move on. I always tell people, you know, you've got to focus on what you can do. You know, I mean, what you can do. I don't have any way. Look, the government doesn't respond. Voting worked. If voting worked and voting for this candidate worked, I would be on here telling y'all we got to change this. We're going to get out here and vote for Joe Blow, and he's going to turn it around. We get enough of these people in Congress, we're going to change the direction of this country. I don't do that because I have experience. I know it isn't. It's never worked. It's the way the government functions. It's a feature, not a bug. The elections don't matter. Everybody's pre-selected. Most of the time, they don't rig it because they don't have to. Your two choices have been pre-selected. They don't care which one you choose. That's where everybody gets all twisted up. You know, they're talking about election fraud. Well, yeah, you have a certain amount of election fraud. This is true. But in the big picture, 90+ percent of these elections, they really don't care. They don't have to fraud the election because they don't care which one of these two dipshits you pick because they're both pre-selected. They're both going to do the same thing. That's why you have a uniparty. Everybody acts like it's a mystery. Why are the Republicans always? Because every candidate from every party is pre-selected. They're pre-selected for that position. They don't care which ones. The ones doing the pre-selecting, they don't care which ones you choose. Doesn't matter. Both of them have been screened and approved. Focus on the things you can change. And the things you have power over. And that is yourself. And the decisions you make. No, I do. I think one of the things that really gets twisted, people twisted up inside and makes them weird is when they take in too much of this stuff and they feel like, you know, I've got to do something. I should be doing something to fix this. And I'm somehow complicit in this because I'm not fixing it. And I'm telling you, you can't fix it. You know, agent provocateurs would sit there and say, oh, he's telling you not to do anything. You need to get out there and do something. Do something. Why aren't you doing something? Those people never answer the question of, well, if it's so important, why aren't you doing something? And what is it that you're supposed to do exactly? Really, what are you supposed to do? You can't. I'm sorry. People get mad when I say that. You know? You're telling people not to do anything. Well, no, I'm not. I'm telling people to do the things they can do. Shore yourself up mentally, spiritually. Take care of your family and your household. Those are things you can do. You're not going to go change government policy. I don't care. You know? No, I'm telling you, you're not going to change it. You don't have the ability to do that. And if you keep trying to figure out some way to do something that you don't have the power to do, you're going to get weird. And then nobody's going to want nothing to do with you because you're a weirdo. Don't be a weirdo. Look, there's things you can't control. And most things you can't control. You have control over yourself and the decisions you make, first and foremost. And what are you doing about it? You make your own decisions and spiritually build yourself up, mentally busy sitting there taking in talk radio and crap like that. That's bad for you. Don't take in a bunch of junk food and don't take in a bunch of junk information. Look, once you know what's going on, you don't need all the detail. Well, here's the latest lie. Okay, well, that's good. I know what it is. I already know it's a lie. Once you understand how the system works, you don't need all the details because you already know how the system works. You already know what direction they're going in and what they're going to do. Look, I believe this system, I mean, look at what they're doing and the way they're behaving. All in all, just generally speaking, and does this look like? Look at the economy. I mean, you got to look at the big picture. The system is failing. These are not the actions of people that have confidence. You know? These are not the actions of people that have confidence that everything is in the bag and they've got everything under control. These are the actions of people who can feel control slipping from their hands. And they're kind of panicking over it. This over-the-top reaction over these anti-genocide protests on college campuses and these politicians from both parties running out here and all of a sudden passing anti-Semitism laws, and we're still unclear on what's the penalty on these. They're passing these laws statewide, trying to pass them federally, you know, defining anti-Semitism, but they're not telling us exactly, okay, what's going to happen to you. Are we all going to be Sven Longshanks and we're going to be in jail? If we, I don't know, read a historical speech and that's been determined. If we read the gospel of the Bible and that also under this definition can be defined as anti-Semitism. If the Christian specific by, let me calm down. You read the gospels. Is this going to be anti-Semitism? They're not telling us what the punishment, but by golly, they're saying they're passing laws left and right. And the way they're running, these are not the actions. People say, we got this in the bag. I always make jokes about they should hire me as their PR director because what they're doing is the opposite of what I would be recommending. I'd be like, chill the hell out. What are y'all doing? If you don't want people to think you're running everything, controlling everything, you wouldn't have all these politicians from both parties running out, falling all over themselves, defending you and passing laws saying people aren't allowed to criticize you. That's a really kind of a poor game plan. send me a check and I'll write you out a better game plan than what you're doing. For starters, you need to run off Jonathan Greenblatt. I would not want that to be the face of people, quote unquote, you know, defending my argument. But nevertheless, let's not get off. You got to affect the things you can. You have control of yourself, the decisions you make. Don't be a weirdo. Enjoy life. Look, the world may end tomorrow. None of us knows how much time we have. I mean this. I'm not saying to be like a, you know, degenerate or something. I'm not saying to go out and be like the heathen. But there's nothing in the Bible, there's nothing anywhere that says you're not supposed to, you know, do what you can to enjoy the time you've got here. I'm not going to start preaching early. I have these thoughts going in my head. I should clarify. Enjoy your life. Do you have a hobby you enjoy doing? Go do that. You know? Do you like going there? You got a nice car and you go out. You like going out and waxing your car on the weekend? Go do it. There's nothing wrong with that. You know? Go enjoy time with your family. Understand that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you can't change and you don't have the power to do that. You have power over yourself. And if you happen to be around after this finishes failing, you know, the people that are mentally and spiritually healthy and fit and capable of thinking clearly are going to be the ones taking part in rebuilding from the rubble when this thing crashes and burns. Simple as. Go enjoy life. We don't know. Yeah, the economy could burn up tomorrow, but if you got enough money and you can afford it, go out and take your family out to a nice meal and laugh. Laugh and talk about something, not this kind of crap that's in the news. Go out with your family and laugh. Laugh about some funny story you heard at work. Hang out in the break room with your coworkers and listen to their corny, crappy-ass jokes. You know? Talk about whatever. Just enjoy life. You know, it's short. You ain't going to be here that long. Trust me, you're not going to have to deal with this that long. It don't last that long. Enjoy it a little bit. Find a hobby. Do something. It will make you feel empowered. I think a lot of things that get people twisted up with the news stuff is they get all this information and they don't have any power, you know, control. If you take a hold of the things you can do in your own life, which is yourself and the decisions you make, if you take a hold of that, you know, you'll suddenly feel empowered. You will, because you're like, well, I'm doing these things. I'm not helpless. Yeah, I see all these things. I don't have any way to affect change there. I don't have any way to do anything about that. But you know what? The things I can do, I'm doing something. Does it matter in the big picture of things? You know, a lot of things don't matter in the big picture. That's the truth of the matter. Just do what you can. Understand, don't be ignorant of the world around you, because the ignorant people are the ones that get led off in a bad direction. When you know they're a bunch of liars, when you understand the agenda, you know, if the government rolls out another vaccine and says you should go take it, if you're informed, you're going to be like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. Ignorant people will fall for it and wind up regretting it later. You see, that's the balance. You be informed so that you can make informed decisions for yourself. Be informed. Don't be ignorant. But at the same time, understand you only have control of what you control. And this makes the news fatigue better. It really does. It's going to make that easier to deal with. Appreciate it. Appreciate it from here on. We got to get into Christian specifics. We're just rolling here. We're just rolling. We're having a good time. I'm having a good time. Hopefully y'all are too. And the good times are going to keep rolling. You know what to do. Get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 13. We're going to do verses 23 through 28. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer, say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not when she are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Then shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. In this illustration that Jesus gives, I think there's several points that are worth slowing down and taking a look at. Strive to enter into the straight gate, for many I shall say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. This is in direct response to the question, are a lot of people going to be saved? We often talk here about how the modern church, at least the Protestant church for sure, is based on a business model. The congregation, the people they get in to come in and sit in the pews, these are customers, and they've got to get these customers in, and they're constantly marketing to a customer base. That's why you see churches advertising, they're trying to advertise like a niche product. We have cowboy churches here in Texas, and you go and you wear your Wranglers and your boots and your hats or whatever, and you go and sit on a bale of hay and do church, and then afterwards you have a calf rope. You've got these churches where they put on basically a rock and roll concert, and they have smoke and lights and all this. It's to entertain. They're entertaining the congregation. I'm not saying, all of those places that do those things don't have good messages. I'm not saying that. But as a blanket rule, as a group, we talk about group behaviors. As a group, the MCC works as a business model. They've got to get customers in the seats. They got to get them entertained. They got to keep more people coming in. More people coming in means more money in the offering plate. And voila, there you are. As such, they tend to water the message down to it's so easy to be saved and Jesus loves everybody. Some of these denominations have basically done away with the concept of hell altogether. And basically nobody's going to hell. Hell doesn't exist. And yet Jesus is very straightforward here in his answer. You're going to have to put the work in. Work to enter in. Make sure you work to enter into the narrow gate, because a lot will try. A lot of people are going to try to get in. And we talked a couple shows back. We talked about the parable Jesus made about the seed, and some of it fell on good ground, bad ground, rocky ground, so on and so forth. And we pointed out, I was pointing out in our discussion, that just if the seed amounts were equal, then 3/4 of the seed wound up not making it. Only 25%, only a remnant. Only a remnant made it in to produce fruit. Now, Jesus is pretty clear here, pretty straightforward. Many will try to enter and not be able to. If it's so simple as you just say, oh, yeah, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In fact, I said those words when I was 10, so I've got it made no matter what I do now. Then what Jesus states here about many trying to get in and not being able to wouldn't make any sense, would it? It does take work, and it takes a conscious effort. I want to keep looking at several points, and then I've kind of got a broader point I want to make out of this passage that we've read. It says here, when once the master of the house, because he says, okay, make sure you strive to get in, because many are going to try and not be able to. And then he says, once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and then he talks about him standing without. The master getting up and shutting the door. In other words, you have this finite amount of time to spend here. You have this finite amount of time to fulfill your purpose. You're here for this purpose. We'll get into this a little deeper here in just a minute. But when the master gets up and closes the door, means time runs out. It means you are going to die. It could be today. It really could. It could be today. Might be the day. And for those who happen to be left on this earth when Jesus returns, again, that's what's signified here with the master getting up and closing the door. Closing the door is when you're out of time. Look, the good news is, as long as you're alive, walking the face of the earth, you've still got time. Maybe you're going to die next week and you've been a total shithead so far in your life. You know, time is short. You need to do what you can. Now, you're not going to be able to fulfill your purpose in the sense that somebody who's spent years seeking the Lord has. But maybe you can slide in by the skin of your teeth. You know, don't expect to be in some responsible position in the kingdom of God. You know, when you just barely slid in and you realized, and then unbeknownst to you, you died. I've had people say, one of the things I don't like is somebody could be just a total horrible person their whole life, and then on their deathbed say they accept Jesus and they're suddenly saved. Well, as I've explained before, no, it doesn't really work that way. The fact of the matter is, you have this finite amount of time. At some point, the master closes the door. You're out of time, and you're going to answer for how you spent that time. Did you spend it growing and seeking to know him, or did you just get choked out by the weeds? Did you just spend your time on worldly things? Did you just fritter it away? You didn't spend it, you know, doing what you're supposed to do. We'll get into this a little more, but I want to kind of hit on this final point and then kind of get it all bundled up together. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now, this last part, I know you not whence you come. In other words, I don't know who you are. I don't even know where you're from. I find this interesting, and I want you to keep in mind, because I am assuming most of you are fairly familiar with your Bibles, and especially with the Gospels and the different teachings of Jesus. And you know, elsewhere he uses a similar illustration. He talks about, you know, the banquet, you know, the everybody gathered for a banquet in the kingdom of God, and whether or not you're invited into the banquet. You see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet, you know, at the feast of the kingdom of the Lord. And keep that illustration in the back of your mind, because it kind of plays into this. But I'm wanting to focus on this part where he says, I know you, I don't know you, and I don't even know where you're from. And we look at it all together with the complete illustration that he's given us here. Imagine that you live in a town, and there's a guy in your town, there's a prominent person in your town. We'll say this guy. We'll name him this guy. And this guy in your town, he's a fairly prominent person. And once a year, you hear that he's holding a barbecue. He's having a cookout. Man, they got brisket. They got bean, brisket, sausage, they got barbecue, everything you want. He has a big cookout. And you think about that, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to stop by there and give me some food. And you show up, and you think you're just going to walk in there and go start getting you some free food. Except security stops you, and they're like, hey, do you got an invitation? And you're like, oh, this guy told me I could come, you know, this guy being the one holding the banquet. This guy said I should totally show up. And they're like, really? Hold on just a second. And security looks over there at this guy, and they're like, hey, did you tell this guy? And this guy said, did you tell this person that he could come in? And this guy says, I don't know this guy. Who are you talking about? He ain't coming in here. You're just trying to load up your plate with free brisket. I don't know him. I don't even know where this guy's from. Now, the point here is that what the Lord is saying here, if the Lord uses this illustration, it's meaningful. The Lord uses this illustration. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you're from. I see a lot of people stumble in their faith because of this idea when they get into talking about God being omnipotent, and God knows everything. God knows everything that's going on. As if God is micromanaging every single happening on the planet. They expand this idea of God's omnipotence to the point of, if a flea jumps off of the back of this dog onto the back of another dog, God is aware of it. I would ask, why would God care about that? You know, God is not, I've said this before, because a lot of evangelicals act like God is sitting there staring at their life through a magnifying glass, like their ants or something, and he's micromanaging what they do. I want you to go over here. It goes back to Calvinism. This idea that every God has already pre-planned everything you're going to do, and basically you have no free will. That's it. You're just going through the motions. Now, let me ask you. If you set up a computer program to do a certain thing, are you going to sit there the entire, after you've successfully developed your computer program, are you going to sit there 24 hours a day while the program runs doing its job and micromanage and make sure each line of code is doing what it's supposed to do? No, you're not. That defeats the whole entire purpose of the computer program. It's automated, so you don't have to mess with it, right? That's the whole point. That's why you have automation. That's why you go. That's why automation is more efficient. You, as a man, if you develop automation, is to make things more efficient so you don't have to micromanage it, so you don't have to mess with it. It's an automated system. It's a self-correcting system. You don't have to mess with it. You should think of this life and the way things work. You know, going through this time that we have, that we're all allotted when we come into this world. This is an automated system. God is not micromanaging every aspect. Yes, there are times when he's doing something specific and he will direct you, or you just wind up by your own free will and you're where you're supposed to be and you're going to accomplish certain things for the Lord. But those are very specific times. 90 plus percent, I don't know the percent, but 90 plus percent of what's going on in this world is just an automated system, and you're in it. You are given this time. You've got your free will. When the master shuts the door, then you're going to have to answer for what you did with your time. And when I say you have to answer for it, I mean you're going to be there in the eternal. Time no longer exists, and you're faced with, what did you do with your time? You know, don't think of it as you're looking at God and he's sitting up there on his throne or like a judge in a courtroom asking you questions. You're standing there facing yourself. You're standing there looking and realizing and having to know that you were given this time to accomplish this thing and you knew a damn thing with it. The point here, and the reason I use the cookout illustration, is this. If the Lord says here, I know you not, I don't even know where you're from, what does that tell you? It means you better put the effort in to introduce yourself. If you want to go to the cookout, if you want to go to this guy's cookout, when you see this guy in the store, you should make it a point to say, hey, how's it going? Hey, you got a minute, let me introduce yourself. You know, I'm Joe Blow. I've heard you do a lot of work in town, and I saw where you built that park for the kids or whatever. I just want to shake your hand and say, you know, we all appreciate it. We're all getting use out of that, you know, and that's my name. And this guy says, well, what's your contact info? What do you do for a living? And you tell him, and he says, well, I might have something for you to do. I might have a project that might be just right for you. And you give your contact information. If you see this guy in town and you make it a point of, hey, I don't want to talk to that guy, man. I've heard he'll talk your arm off, and I ain't got time for this guy. I need to go down here and get my can of soup or whatever. And you always make it a point, don't make any eye contact with that guy. I've heard rumors about that guy. I don't even want to talk to this guy. You got to make it a point to introduce yourself to this guy. And then maybe this guy calls you one day and says, hey, I've got a project. You know, we've talked several times. I've got a project I think you'd be just right for. And you'd be like, well, I'd be happy to do it, but I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not confident I can do it. And this guy says, no, you're going to be the guy to do this. And so on and so forth. Now, you go to the cookout and security says, hey, who are you? And you say, well, this guy told me I should show up. And again, security looks over and this guy says, oh, yeah, no, I know him. Yeah, he was the one that worked on that project that we did a couple years ago. Yeah, come on in. Come on and get your plate of brisket. You try out the, be sure you get the jalapeno sausage. It's got a bite to it. You're going to like it. Come on in. I know who you are. The Lord says, I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. Then the answer to that is, if that's troubling, if you put yourself in the shoes of those that are trapped outside, banging on the door, going, Master, Master, let us in. If you don't want to be those people, then what's the simple answer? You better be sure he knows who you are. And if you want him to know who you are, you better introduce yourself. You better make sure he, you better make it a point to introduce yourself. It's not his job. Okay? It's not his job to come find you and beg you to come to the cookout, is it? It's not his job to come and seek you out like you're so special. You better make it. If you don't want to be the ones out there on the other wrong side of the door, on the wrong side of the gate, being told by the master, I don't know who you are. I don't even know where you're from. I've never seen you before in my life. If you don't want to be those people, make it a point to introduce yourself. Reach out. Say, hey, This is me. I've heard good things. If there's anything I can do, if there's anything I can do to help, if there's any way I can be a part of what you're doing, you know, hey, let me know. Here's my numbers, my contact info. If there's anything I can do to help, you know, be a part of what you're doing, I'd be excited to be a part of that. Introduce yourself. That's all it takes. Introduce yourself. Make it a point that he does know you. The fact that he doesn't know who you are or where you came from means that you wanted it that way. Make sure he knows. How are you going to know? You know, how are you going to make sure that he knows who you are? Well, you're going to introduce yourself. You're going to tell him. You're going to say, hey, you know, if there's anything I can do, I know I'm not much use, but if there's anything, you just need a hand. You just need a set of hands to move rocks or something, you know? I may not be qualified for a high up, you know, to be a high up part of what you're doing, but if you need some manual labor to dig a ditch or something, I'm your guy. You know, just whatever you could use me for, I just want you to know, here's my contact info, and I can guarantee you the Lord is going to contact you. The Lord's going to know who you are if you introduce yourself. That's why Jesus says elsewhere, knock and the door will be opened. In other words, if you introduce yourself and you put the effort forward, he's going to open the door. You know, that's on you. He's not going to sit there and say, no, I don't have time to talk to you right now. No, if you put forth the effort, he'll knock and he'll open the door. If you put forth the effort, the Lord will respond in kind. I guess so wore out with this MCC idea, like God is supposed to be waiting hand and foot on you to get off your lazy ass and you know, do something besides demand waiting, you know, sit around demanding that God do something else for you in your life. To fulfill something else on your damn wish list or your bucket list. When are you going to put forth some effort? Where's the part in the MCC where they talk about, you know, you got to do stuff for the Lord? It's always this sit around and God's going to fulfill this wish. He's going to give me a new car. He's going to give me a new house. He's going to give me a pretty wife. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Come on, God, serve me, serve me, serve me. Where's the part where you put some effort in? Because that's what it takes. If you don't want to be on the wrong side of I don't know you or where you're from, you better introduce yourself. Now, I want to circle back on this point because, again, people who are ignorant in the faith would respond and say, well, what do you mean you got to introduce yourself? Of course, God knows you. Isn't he omnipotent? That you don't understand what omnipotent means in the context of the Lord, if I may boldly say such a thing. Isn't God omnipotent? What do you mean he doesn't know who you are, where you're from? I thought God knows everything. Well, God can know everything, but why would he want to? He automated a system. You're just in it. You're just in it. You've got your time. Your time is allotted. You've got your free will. Have at it. That's the system. That's the system. He ain't going to go make it a point to come know somebody that doesn't have the time of day to ever speak to him, to ever look his way, snubs him in the grocery store. He ain't got time for that. Why would he do that? Why would he set up an automated system if he was going to sit around and make it a point to micromanage and know every individual person? You got to introduce yourself. You want the Lord to know you. You want the Lord to be aware of your struggles and you want something from God. You better go introduce yourself. and see what you can do for him. Never get sucked into this mindset that God is somehow your servant, your Santa Claus, waiting to give you a present. Because it don't work that way. You're the servant. He's the master. He's the father. And ultimately, through Christ, you're his children. There is a hierarchy here, and you're at the bottom of it. You know, omnipotence, the proper way, I believe, the proper way to view God's omnipotence is he is the creator of everything you understand around you. He is the creator of this realm known as time. He is the creator of the world as you know it. And such, he is omnipotent. But he doesn't sit around and watch every single thing, every bird flying around. Why would he make an automated system as such as it is? The rules of the system, we have various names for them. God's laws, the natural order of things. We have this natural order of things. What is that? These are the parameters of this basically automated system that God created. If you yourself were a character, you know, in a computer program, a video game, or whatever, would not the creator, whoever created the game, the video game, the program that you existed in, would they not be God to you? Would they not be, you would view them as omnipotent because they created your existence, the world that you exist in? And yet again, as I said before, the writer of that program, the creator of that program, doesn't sit around and micromanage everything every NPC is doing in the video game, because he doesn't need to do that. He created a program to run automatically to do that. I believe that this view that I'm putting forth is correct, and I believe it's backed up by what's written in the Bible. If you look at, for instance, if you look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel of the Lord comes down, and says, well, I'm going to go see. You know, he says, I'm doing this off the top of my head. But he says, you know, we're going to go see what's actually going on here. You know, with there's a glitch in the pro. There's this place that's really nasty, and the people are doing really perverse things. Let us go down and see what this is all about. Let's go check it out. Let's go debug the program, so as to speak. If God's sitting around micromanaging his creation, he wouldn't need to come look, would he? He could come down and see. Well, let's see what's going on with this. Let's see why this engine has a knock in it. You know, engine should be running smooth, but we've got a tick. Well, let's see what that noise is. Let's go take a look at it. I believe this view is backed up. And people do. It becomes a stumbling block in their faith. And non-believers, they say, well, if God knows everything, well, then I know this person, and they had a really tragic accident, and it was really sad. And why did God let that happen? It's an automated system. I want to tell you, it's an automated system. God's not micromanaging your life. This idea, well, if God knows everything, he's omnipotent, then why did he let this happen? Because it's an automated system. You're just here, and you don't know for how long. But you are given time, and you have a purpose. You're supposed to spend this time productively so that when the door is shut, you're on the right side of it. You're filling a plate full of brisket. You're not out there banging on the door going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't you know who I am? I seen you in the grocery store. Never spoke to you, but I seen you in town. Don't you know me? Don't you know who I am? I'm so important. He says, I don't know who you are. I don't even know where you're from. Why would he? You've never introduced yourself. You've never gone out of your way to say, hey, Lord, let me introduce myself. You know, I really don't, maybe I don't really know much about you, but I've heard you do some good things. And you know, if I can be a part of that, if I can be some help. I think so often, even as believers, we'll get bogged down in our prayers and this applies. I think we all fall into this trap at some point in time or another. It is something I think you do well in your faith to pry yourself out of that mindset. Look at how often you pray. And then ask yourself, how often are your prayers just you asking God for something? You know, I do. I think that's a trap people get into in their prayer. They pray and they're just asking all the time. God help me with this. God bless me with this. Make it a point. Make it a point to pray when you pray. Make it a point. Try this. If you fall into that trap, make it a point to pray and don't ask God for anything. Instead, ask God, Lord, is there anything I can do for you? You've got a lot going on. Is there anything I can do to take a burden off of you? Is there any way I can pitch in and help? I mean, if not, you know, that's up to you. But I do want to offer. Huh? I'm willing to put some time in. You know, I don't have much to offer. But if there's anything I can do to help, Lord, if there's anything I can do to be of assistance to whatever it is you're trying to do, I may not understand the big picture of this. But if there's anything I can do, you know, God, I'm here. Try that. If you get sucked into, and at some point you will, you'll get sucked into your prayers of the same thing over and over. Lord, help me. I'm having a hard time. God, help me. Lord, bless me. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. God, help me. I'm not happy. God, help me. I don't know. I need some help. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Quit asking him for stuff and try offering him some stuff. What can I do to help? Imagine if somebody comes up to you and every time you see this person, they're asking you for something. You know, every time you run into this guy, it's like, hey, can you give me a dollar? You know, they like the homeless people that stand at the street intersections. You don't want to make eye contact with them because they're walking up and down, hoping you'll roll down your window and give them $5 or something. Every time you see them, put yourself in the Lord's shoes. How would you like it if every time you hear from somebody, if you had a relative or a friend or an acquaintance, and every time they called you up, every time you saw them in town, they's always asking you, "Would you can you give me some money? Can you help me with this? Hey, you know, I need new tires on my car, and I know you got some money. You think you could hook me up with some tires on my car?" And maybe, you know, one time you helped him out and, you know, because you're like, man, yeah, that guy needs some help and I can afford to help him. I'm a charitable person. And you help that person out. And they're like, hey, thanks, man. And then you don't see them for another 6 months. You never hear nothing out of them. Then you see them in 6 months and they're like, hey, you know, I'm a little short of change. Pretty soon you don't have nothing to do with that person, do you? Because they're just using you. That'd be your reaction, wouldn't it? And maybe that person doesn't mean it that way, but if this was you, wouldn't that be the way you'd be like, you know what? Every time I see, the only thing you ever say to me is not, how are you doing? How are things going for you? Every time I see you, all you do is ask me what the hell I can do. You try to bum money off of me. You're trying to get gas off of me. You try to get me to put some gas in your car. You're trying to get me to what? Give you some money. Help you out. Never one time you just ask, how am I doing? You know? Never one time if you said, hey, can I help you with something? Break out of that mindset. This is a part of introducing yourself to the Lord to make sure he knows who you are. Break out of that. Ask God, what can I do for you, Lord? I'm here. I've got a full belly of food. I got a roof over my head. God, what can I do for you? I don't really even understand what you're doing. It's too big a project for me. I don't get it. But Lord, is there something I can do for you? Just anything. I'm not very capable. You know? But if, like I say, if you need two hands to maybe do manual labor or to do whatever, Lord, you use me. You know? Is there something I can do for you, Jesus? Is there something I need to do for you? Turn it around. Instead of, imagine every time you hear from somebody, all they want is gimme, gimme, gimme. What can you do for me? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Wouldn't your voice, if you're introducing yourself and you're introduced, say when you're trying to introduce yourself, there's a whole bunch of other people standing around trying to introduce themselves too. And every one of them is standing there going, hey, I just wanted to let you know who I am. And I hear you got a free program where you maybe, I've heard you got some money and maybe you could help me out. And every one of them is approaching him the same way. And you're the one guy out of this crowd that you walk up to him and say, I just wanted to let you know, this is me. This is my name. Here's my contact info. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. who's going to stand out in that crowd of people that yelling and hollering and waving their hands and go, Lord, 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 look over here. I want you to know who I am so you can come help me with something, so you can give me a present. Be that one face in the crowd that walks up and says, Lord, just let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Let me know. If you're the person on the other end of that deal and you got all these people and they all just saying the same thing, but you remember that one guy, aren't you? You remember the one guy that actually walked up and asked if he could do something to help you out. Now, maybe the guy that walked up and said that is dirt ass poor and you're the richest man in town, and somebody snickered, and the people around that heard that, they snicker and they're like his broke ass going to help Mr. This guy here, the prominent guy in town. What's he going to do? Broke out, they all snickering. He wearing wore out dirty clothes and he walking up asking Mr. Rich Guy here if he could. They all snickering behind their hands. What he gonna do? But I'm gonna tell you, that man will remember the one guy who walked up broke, wore out clothes on his back, and instead of saying, give me something, he said, just let me know if there's anything I can do for you. I don't know if I'd be any good, but if there's anything I can do for you, you're going to remember that, wouldn't you? And so will the Lord. All these people over here, they all got good clothes on. They all got a nice car. They all got a nice house. And then they just trying to get something extra. They just hustling. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. And then they have the nerve to sit around and snicker. This guy walks up in his old wore out clothes, holes in his boots. And they all snickered. Look at this guy, man. And he's got the nerve. He's asking this rich guy if he's anything he could do for him. That's funny. They're all snickering behind their hands. But I'm going to tell you, the master isn't laughing. The master's going to remember you, isn't he? You're not going to be on the other side of that door going, when the master says, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you come from. Because he's going to remember that. He's going to say, I know this guy. He was the one guy that walked up out of that group of people who actually didn't ask me for something. He walked up, didn't have a penny to his name, didn't have much. And instead of asking for something, he actually asked if there was anything he could do for me. Out of that whole group of people, who's the Lord going to remember? Who would you remember? Put yourself in God's shoes. You're made in the image of God. You're supposed to, part of that is, and the time we spend on this earth, is that we understand him because we're made in his image. Put yourself in the Lord's shoes. Who would you remember? You had 10 people standing around you. 9 of them are hollering, trying to figure out some way to get something out of you. And that one guy who didn't have much asked if he could do. That was the one guy out of 10 that asked you. If there's anything, just let him know if there's anything he could do for you. I guarantee you at cookout day, that's the guy you're going to say, no, I know that guy. Let him in. Yeah, I know that guy. I remember him. He was the one guy that asked if he could do something for me. Whether he actually could or not is irrelevant. Maybe the master never calls that guy and says, hey, yeah, I do got something I want you to do. But you know what? He offered. He was the one guy in the crowd that wasn't trying to get something out of him. Think about it. We're in this world. God created this world the way he did for a reason. There are all kinds of ways to understand the Lord. You're made in God's image. Understand the world around you and you're going to understand God. You know, like I said, put yourself in God's shoes in the sense of how would you feel? You know, and you can get pretty close. You know, now don't get me wrong. I know, you know, a man cannot truly understand the mind of the Lord. We're all humble like that. But God has given us these circumstances for a reason. We're created in his image. So how would you feel about that? And you can get pretty close to understanding then a little bit about the Lord, can't you? You should put yourself in God's shoes. I said, well, how would I feel if everybody just constantly carped at me about, hey, give me, give me, give me. How would I feel about that? Give me a break at night. Anyway, we'll wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed the entirety of the show, especially the Christian-specific segment. It's the main highlight of the show. I hope you got something out of it. I appreciate you always. I appreciate you stopping by. And as always, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.